Bucks fans, the sage of Tampa Bay sports is here on the Ira Kaufman podcast. He was at One Buck Palace watching the first of 10 OTA practices. Unfortunately, those spring practices are not all open to the media, but Ira was out there. He was doing his thing. He's got a lot of impressions to share, and there's plenty more on top of that. This is the Ira Kaufman podcast presented by Bill Curry Ford. They are Tampa's first family of Ford, 65 years, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on the east side of Dale Mabry Highway. GM Sean Sullivan, he's got all the greats, all the Ford hits for you out there. The Bronco, Mustang, F-150. Check them out at BillCurryFord.com or just head into the dealership. And if you want to order your vehicle your way, they've got their concierge ordering service. It's fantastic. So easy online. You'll get someone to help you every step of the way. And Sean is giving you a $500 gift card just for ordering a vehicle. No deposit. And of course, nationwide lifetime warranty on every new vehicle at Bill Curry Ford. They've also got certified pre-owned, fantastic selection, their body shop, Bill Curry Ford, where you really get family personal service. And Sean Sullivan, the GM, he will help you personally, and he'll give you the Ira Kaufman discount on top of everything else if you ask for it. Bill Curry Ford, GM Sean Sullivan, thank you for all of your support. We love you, Sean, out there, one of the great Bucks fans of all time. And we thank Big Storm Beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Big Storm Brewery with tap rooms. That's where you can go have dinner and lunch and beers and cocktails. Big Storm Brewery, live music at a lot of locations too, and other events. BigStormBrewery.com. They've got tap rooms in Odessa, Clearwater, the flagship location right there on 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton Road. Ybor City, upstairs in Centro Ybor, second floor. Great new location where we had our draft party, and where we'll be doing some watch parties during the season, also in Clearwater, where we'll be out there as well as we set the schedule to watch road games with the Sage this season, and down in Cape Coral and in Orlando at the Amway Center. Big Storm Beer, you can find some varieties in the stores, like Bromosa is everywhere, but so many other great beers, Wavemaker Amber Ale. Just check them all out at BigStormBrewery.com, BigStormBrewery.com. And thanks to our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. Do not call anyone else when you have that flood or mold or storm damage, fire in your property. Call them 24/7. They will be your offensive coordinator when you've got this disaster. You need to get things fixed and you need money from your insurance company. Florida's Elite Restoration, fantastic work. Owner Josh Martin, he's got 14 years experience in the insurance industry personally as an adjuster. So he knows all the games, all the tricks, and how to get that money for you. And members of his team have worked on the insurance side. They've got 25 plus years experience combined. They are going to fight for you to get you everything you have coming to you and make your property just right, because it is your home. Florida's Elite Restoration, they too have an Ira Kaufman discount just when you call initially. Before you ever agree to go forward with a service with them, let them know you heard about their service, Florida's Elite Restoration, from Ira Kaufman or JoeBucksFan.com, and they'll give you $500 back, money you can use toward your deductible, or maybe that's just cash if you're paying cash out of your pocket for a home repair. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Check out their website now so you know who to call in your time of need. All right, I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com, Ira Kaufman and Lee DeKemper, with special guest Rock Riley chiming in, are at One Buck Palace, and we're throwing it over to them for all you need to know and more out of day one of OTAs. So here's the sage.
Ira, it's OTAs. It's hot. It's sweaty. What did you see out at OTAs today?
Well, I'd like to thank the weather gods, first of all, because there was plenty of cloud cover, Lee. And I worry about you in the sun, the camper.
So do I.
So sweating was minimal today. We got Rock Riley here, too.
Lee, special
and,
guest.
And a special guest. And Rock, pretty good media turnout, considering it's voluntary OTAs. Not bad at all.
Yeah, honored to be with you guys. Always on Joe Bucks Fan, man. Biggest, baddest Buccaneer news anywhere in the world. Here we are, brand new season. It starts now. A lot of times you'll hear Super Bowl champion teams talk about it all comes together at this time. Because once you get into the season, you're just going to game planning for that opponent. You don't have times to So it's totally a new vibe, and we can get into this, but I've heard a couple of players talking about a change was needed, and it must have been a little worse than we actually thought last year. So, and I've heard that from several players, including young tight end Kate Otten today.
You know, Lee, I think it's probably more important than ever that there be a good turnout for voluntary OTAs, and there was today, because a lot of new players, unlike the past 3 years when they kept a lot of the same nucleus, and a new offensive coordinator in Canales. And by the way, his name came up a lot during the interviews today. Mm-hmm. Lee, and I asked Coach Bowles about him. And the word that keeps being associated with Canales is intelligence. Very smart. And the classic, he knows what he doesn't know. I love that line. He knows what he doesn't know.
Oh, okay, you know, I see.
He's not a know-it-all.
Now, Steve and I immediately would go right to Leftwich.
I know you would.
Well, those.
I don't think he meant it as a shot at Leftwich, though. I don't.
But the compliments we're hearing about Canales from the players, is that a veiled message about Leftwich?
It depends on how you want to interpret it. I mean, the fact is, Leftwich is out of football.
Yeah.
That's a fact. We're not making that up. Nobody hired him as a quarterback's coach, let alone an offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. I think he's working with his son's football team this year, wherever that is. But I reject the idea. Now, Rock, maybe I'm wrong, but you can't lay everything on Byron Leftwich's plate.
That's fair.
In terms of the offense being putrid last year. It's not all Leftwich's fault.
No, and we could see when you sit up high in the press box for home games, and Lee, I know you go to a lot of away games as well, you really can see. And I was noticing that Brady really didn't want to get hit. That's part of a factor where that was kind of throwing things off. And they were slow, the guys that they had.
Yeah,
they didn't really
slow.
Have any burn. Everything was slow, and they wanted to get faster. So, no, but I will tell you this, and I know Lee will get a kick out of this. When Godwin was asked and about Dave Canales and about this offense, and I don't know if you caught it, but he said, no, I like this offense, and B.A.'s offense. He didn't even mention Leftwich. B.A.'s offense.
Yeah.
So there you go. But there was changes needed to be made, and it's pretty obvious. All the new players, very young, they do seem a little bit quicker, the speed positions. Now, again, it's shorts and shirts, and I know Lee likes to talk about underwear football, so you can't get too much out of today. But it just looked a little bit quicker. And what did Godwin say? It reminded him of a training camp practice.
Can we overstate the chance that this wide receiver, Trey
Palmer.
Lee, can we are we exaggerating to say that there's an opportunity for this kid to make a contribution?
I think so. As our good friend Steve twittered this out and posted the story, you know, Mayfield said that Gage got hurt last week. Here we go again. He got hurt, Russell Gage, in OTAs last year, and the guy was close to worthless last year. I'm sorry.
Caught some touchdowns near the end of the year, a few.
In my eyes, he was the most disappointing player last year.
Wow.
And a lot of it was because he was hurt. I understand that, but this ain't high school, this ain't college. This is the pros. They need you on the field, not in the tub. And all of a sudden, now we learn that just like last year, this year is starting out the same way for Gage. If I'm light, I'm running to his favorite watering hole and start chugging, Shark's Head or...
There's a real spot for Palmer.
Yes.
Not just special teams. Not just special teams. They need speed on the flank. And for an example, and Lee, you've seen me write about this several times, that yards per completion, not per pass, but completion, when they're actually successful and the guy's hauling the ball in, Rock, it's like these guys are getting less than 10 yards a reception. That even Godwin. Less than 10 yards. That's not the Chris Godwin we know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he was coming off that injury. But still, Rock, the ability to stretch the field, which this kid Palmer may have, that could be a real significant factor.
When we were watching the 11-on-11, that's what I like to see.
Yes.
I know it's underwear football, but still, it's 11-on-11, not 7-on-7. And we're seeing a lot of bootlegs. We're seeing movement, and we're seeing the bomb. Mayfield threw a beautiful bomb, long, had to be 60 yards, touchdown. And then Trask also threw a bomb and a touchdown. We didn't see the long ball. ball last year. I'm excited, man, about seeing Canales' offense. Now, again, it's all going to come down to the offensive line. There's a lot of movements here, and you know what I mean? So that's going to be the big key. Can the line protect?
In terms of scheme, Lee, I don't think we'll recognize this Buck offense this year.
Totally correct. That's a very good point. This offense, now I can understand someone right away screaming about this, but this offense is a little more horizontal. What I mean by that is there's a lot of jet sweeps, a lot of bootlegs, a lot of using the wide receiver out of the backfield, that kind of stuff that we just didn't see last year.
Tight end, too, that we're going to start seeing more of. They're going to catch some
balls. And how about moving Mayfield or Trask out of the pocket?
They are doing that with Mayfield.
You know, that was inhibiting in terms of Brady. With the greatness of Brady,
exactly.
You got to take the other side of Brady, too. Mm-hmm. And that's, he wants to be five steps back and in right in that comfort pocket.
Right.
And he wasn't going to roll out.
No. Right. Now, Kate Otten said that, his words, not mine, there will be more bootlegs. Now, you could argue, well, two is more than none.
I wouldn't call Mayfield immobile.
No. And you know what, Trask, I actually had a look down. You can see how much bigger he is. And there was a couple of times today where he got out pretty quick to get that first down. He's 6'5", 235, 240. But he's not a statue. If he has to, he can.
What do you guys think of this? I guess my big takeaway about Mayfield, you know, there's only so much you can get off the first practice of underwear football.
Yep.
He's got a much quicker release than I thought he did.
Yes. And knowing where to go. When we were at the Arians Golf Classic, and he's like, there's a reason why I went number one. He's letting us know. Okay. Uh-huh. Okay. But you know what? What did Arians say? I want a guy.
Yes.
That's cocky, a little bit cocky like that. And you can see it out here. Also, his arm. His arm is good. And it looked like, for the first time, going 11 on 11 with the new offense, it was no, like, hesitation.
Lee, so, you think in Mayfield's mind, he's operating under the presumption this is basically his last chance, otherwise he's going to be a career backup or
something? I think he knows that. He would have to be a rockhead not to realize that. I think that's part of it.
You're going to get the best of Mayfield. Whatever he's got, you're going to get it.
And he said, hey, yeah. Jeremy goes, this is a one-year deal. Like, he knows. Yeah. He knows, man. He's got to. He's got to come through.
Well, I stood in front of Mayfield today, Lee. And the vibe that was coming across from Mayfield is he's feisty.
Yeah.
He's pissed off about the way his career has turned. Guys, it wasn't that long ago that the Browns were 11-5. They went into Pittsburgh. They put up like 47 points with Mayfield, won the game. They went to Arrowhead against a great Chiefs team, and they were very competitive. And the game was up for grabs with about 6 minutes left. And here it is 3 years later, and Mayfield's fighting for his football life. He's pissed off. You were there, Rock. I asked Arians, hey, is this guy cocky? Is he a punk? I think I used the word punk.
Oh.
You know, only because it's Arians. You can say anything.
I didn't realize that was you, because that was me. When I played his answer, I was getting for 2 days straight.
Yeah.
I was like, why is this? And that was you?
Yeah. And Arians likes Mayfield's attitude.
He does.
He's an Arians guy. If he goes out, he's not taking a standing eight count. He's going down swinging. I think all three of us believe he's going to be the starter this year.
He was running with the ones today.
And look how many snaps he took. About 70% of the practice.
True. I think Trask got his work cut out for him.
Yeah, I mean, Trask looked decent, but me, it's the offense looks faster.
Less predictable, Rock?
That's a perfect way to put it, Sage. It's not predictable, and it was. So that's the biggest thing that I'm seeing here at One Buck in May.
Lee, it was a slog last year on offense, right? It was a slog.
Yeah. Oh.
And a lack of an imagination. Yes. There's no question about it.
It was sluggish in the preseason, and it never changed. I wrote your reaction to this. When you asked Mayfield about, hey, there's just no buzz about this team at all. Nobody is talking about the Bucs.
How the Bucs got two primetime games, Lee, is one of the great mysteries.
That shocked the hell out of me.
A lot of people are saying that. But the Bucs are getting no buzz. Vegas is very down on them. And I loved Mayfield's response. I played in this division last year. I'm pretty sure they won it.
I know.
It was a pretty damn good answer.
What's your reaction? Yeah.
But I will say this, and it's natural. It's just the way of the NFL. All four teams are not going to be below 500, forever. Somebody's going to emerge. And I heard somebody talk, I think it was Adam Schein, who you really like. He was talking up the Falcons. Now, of course, a lot depends on Desmond Ridder, who's got as many questions as Baker Mayfield, yeah. if not more. But he played pretty well at the end of last year. I don't think he threw a pick in the four games. They got Robinson to go along with Allegier, and that's a strong ground game.
Oh, and they're going to use him out of the bat a lot of different ways. You know,
and Arthur Smith wants to be a physical pound team like he was in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. You know, they got Pitts, and Drake London looks pretty good on paper. That might not be a bad Atlanta offense.
If they had a quarterback and they had a different mindset in Atlanta, not this 1960s Packers sweep stuff. If they had a different mindset and a different quarterback, I'd be scared of that team. Now, they don't have a defensive line either.
Defense is a real question. Their pass rush has really been lousy. Speaking of pass rush, and I got to give this to Bowles. You know, say what you want about them, and Lee brings it up, and it's fair. Four straight losing seasons, Rock. There's no way around that. Facts are facts. Somehow, some way, and with Shaq Barrett missing half the season, and let's face it, Barrett wasn't great when he was playing. Lee had three sacks in eight games. Somehow, some way, they come up with 47 sacks. You know, I don't know how Bowles does it.
Yeah.
He's a master at screwing up these offenses and making them hesitate. And he shows them a look, and then that's not the look you get when you're snapping the ball. He's very good at that.
It sounded like some of the defense is being tweaked as well. Like some of it's going to be new as well. I thought it was mostly the offense. You think they
could rebuild that around Kancey's presence?
They really seem to like him, his get-off and all that. Now, again, he's smaller, you know, and we're not going to know until he gets on the field against veteran offensive linemen. But a lot of potential there. The other guy that they picked up, they like. So we'll see. But I think the defense is going to be solid. The whole thing is, it is kind of a distraction. But, you know, with Devin White, what's the deal? Is he going to show up? Is he going to ball out? He puts all these things on social media. You don't know where he's coming from. You know what I mean? There was times last year, he's inconsistent. He's got all this talent. And Devin White, ball out and you will get your money. That's what Arian said.
That's the way to put it.
This stuff with this and that.
They'll be glad to give you a big check.
You got it.
Yes.
So come here and ball out.
When is the last time, Ira, you heard of a linebacker demanding a redone contract who just a few months prior was called out on social media by a Hall of Famer?
Absolutely right, Billy. You know, if Rock, you've been around SAP a long time. He can be very rough on defensive tackles because that's the position he played. And, you know, he goes, this guy's not that good or whatever. For him to talk about a linebacker like that, I think that takes on then there's no jealousy because it's not the position that Sapp played. If he's going out of his way to take a little pot shot at Devin White, I'd put even more stock in that than him talking about a defensive
tackle. He's more objective with linebackers.
He's more objective. Lee, I think the Bucs are handling this very well. Mm. They're handling it very well. One of the players was asked about it, Godwin. And they know what to say, Lee. They know what to say. That's his business. It is a business. But when the dust settles, what leverage does Devin White have for 2023, Lee?
Yeah.
And the Bucs know that. And Devin White's agent has to know that too, Lee. They're not trading this guy unless things go off the rails with this franchise in midseason.
No, they're not getting rid of him.
They're not getting rid of him.
Ira, are you suggesting that they would franchise him?
No, they want to see more from Devin White, and I'm aboard with the Bucs on this. He's not a bad player, but he's nowhere near where he should be, Lee. And you always bring up the 2020 postseason run to the Vince Lombardi Trophy. He might have been the best Bucs player on either side of the ball. And what we see a lot is bad angles and failure to wrap up and so-so on coverage. Lee, he's got work to do.
I know for fans, they're frustrated, and just from being a football fan, I'm disappointed that White can't come close to what he did in the playoffs. And it's one thing to play well, which he did. He was elite. I don't think that's overstating it. And then you factor in, it was the playoffs. It was against the best of the best, and he was doing that. And why can't he do that against slugs in the NFC South? I don't know if Bowles is using him that much.
Somebody could suggest that he's being used differently by Bowles. Now, why would you mess with a good thing, Rock? I mean,
no.
2 years ago, he admitted that.
And I'm not asking him to get 9 sacks. Yeah. I think that's unreasonable.
2 years ago, he did. Didn't Bowles admit that because of the injuries?
He did. Rock, I want to say one more thing about the Buck defense. And I was thinking about this, you know, last year. And Steve points this out. I think the last 6 games, including the Dallas debacle playoff game, you know, teams were averaging like 27, 28 points against the Bucks. You know what I ascribed that to? I think they broke down. There was too much pressure on them. The lousy offense, especially in the first half. you look up at halftime and you're losing 10-0, and you've only given up 10 points, and you're 10 points behind. I just think they got worn down mentally to a frazzle. No running game. You're on the field more. You can't move the chains. I'm going to give the Buck defense a little break here, Rock. I know they dropped off, you know, in a significant way during the stretch drive. But for much part of the season, this was a very good defense, Rock. And the Bucs are averaging 18 points. I can't put that on the defense.
I think also, too, they got to get back to getting better to stop the run. Once you
That's been
do
slipping.
That, and one, you know, we've talked to players and they say when you stop the run, it just takes the will. And what did Brady always say? Brady was like, we've been in pass-a-thons. When you're in pass-a-thons, everybody knows you're going to only pass. You can't win like that. So I think the Buccaneer defense, that was their calling card for so
it
many
was.
Years.
Sue was a part of that.
Yes, I think that was huge. So we'll see. And with this gains coming in, we'll see. But I think they've got to do better on that.
That run defense has been slipping a bit.
It has. It has slipped. I don't think it's a coincidence. Sue is gone. I'm going to quote Ian Beckles here. Ian Beckles said there's no coincidence that wherever Sue goes, they win.
And what's that great line from Sue last week? I'm not going to training camp.
But, flat out.
But he expects to be with a team.
Yeah. I'll be ready. Call me when it's the first
call
game.
Me,
you know what? He'll probably get a call.
He's very sharp, Sue.
Yeah, he is.
He's a
sharp
business guy, Lee. He's sharp.
He is. I'm waiting for Vita Vea to take even a little bit more of a step. He is a specimen. Bowles was on with Rich Eisen, and they were talking.
Well, he gets good guests, Eisen.
Yeah. It was really good. It hit a lot about his mom dying on her deathbed, asking him, you know, please get your degree. And Eisen had a good point. He's like, did she ever mention that? He goes, she never mentioned that in all those years. And that stuck with me. But that wasn't the point I was going to bring up. Eisen was asking him about Vita Vea. And he goes, boy, I saw him at whatever event it was. And, you know, he's just so big and a specimen. And he's like, he's faster than you think. He can move quicker than you think. That was Bowles. And I don't think Vita has hit his potential yet. And, again, it's got to be. He was better when he had Sue. When you have somebody next to him, maybe this kid. But it's an awful lot to put on this kid from Pittsburgh already. You know what I'm saying? But Vita, take that next step.
I got a question for you, Lee, on Davis and Dean, two high-priced corners. Lee, high-priced. And I'm not knocking them. They're solid. But somebody mentioned today the Bucs had 10 interceptions as a team. Lee, that's not acceptable to Todd Bowles. He's a former defensive back. Lee, are you buying the notion that Dean and Davis had their hands on a lot of balls last year and failed to come down with it? Or do you think they need to be around the ball more?
Well, I don't know how many times they got their hands on the ball. But what I can tell you is I saw a stat the other day. I'm going off the top of my head. I don't have it with me. In the last 5 years, Carlton Davis is second or third with passes defensed.
That's a big
stat. That's a good one.
Pass breakups.
Just based on that alone, that sort of suggests if Bowles is saying they got their hands on a lot of balls, that sort of supports that.
Okay.
And, Rock,
stat.
We were talking the other day, Justin Jefferson. I mean, he's the man.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you got Devontae Adams. You got a few other guys. Cooper Kupp, of course, when healthy. But Jefferson's right there. And it's the Bucs opener on the road. And we were talking the other day. You know, you remember when the Bengals came in and Carlton Davis told Bowles, I got Jamar Chase.
Yes.
And he played really well that day. Now, the Bucs lost that game. Do you see Davis having the confidence level to do that on a weekly basis, saying, I got their best receiver?
Well, I see him having the confidence to say it. Can he do it?
Would Bowles allow it? Does Bowles have that kind of confidence?
He might. I think he might.
Davis, you know, to the next level, Lee. You know, if he's shutting down guys, you know, I'm not saying Jefferson's going to catch one ball for 8 yards.
No.
But, you know, if he catches 5 for 65, that's a good day's work for Carlton Davis.
Yes. Right.
I like you already. You game plan for that first game.
Hey, there you go.
I like it, Sage. Nice.
By the way, Lee, the Vikings were 8-1 at home last year. Just so you know.
Now,
but they pulled a lot of games out of their ass.
Yes, they did.
Now, what do you think about this, Ira? I know you partake in this particular activity.
This is going to be interesting.
When Todd Bowles is asked what he learned about Baker Mayfield since they signed him, and he said he's a good golfer.
You know, these guys are on a whole different level. Rock, I stink. I can't break 100, but some golf pro told me one day that like 65% of the guys that play two or three times a week can't break 100. I was stunned by that because 100's a big number.
Yeah, I can't do it.
Lee, what I mean by another level is when Baker Mayfield says, I'm not that good, I scuff around. He's probably a scratch golfer, this guy. He's probably shooting 80.
He's getting ready for a tournament.
He's getting ready for a tournament. This guy's no scrub over here.
No.
You know, when you get really good golfers, that's a whole another level, Brock. And I think Arians is pretty darn good.
Well, he golfs enough.
He's pretty darn good. He does golf.
No, I heard that at the...
And I don't think we're going to see much of him, Lee, this year.
This is his last year under contract. And he's got 1 foot and 3 toes out the door.
I was hoping to see Rondé today, Rock. I haven't seen him
since
the announcement that he got a gold jacket. I haven't seen the guy.
You'll see him in Canton. That's going to be awesome. That's going to be awesome.
You brought up something I was going to ask you. Now, I know you're a big Sap guy. Yeah, obviously, you worked your tail off to get Sap in with the ultimate line.
He's an asshole, but he belongs.
Yeah.
They said, hey, Ira, nobody's ever used that word in the room. I said, I didn't use it. Keyshawn said it.
When you hear people say, Cansey's small, but you also factor in he's the same size as Sap, when you hear people say Cansey's small, does that rub you the wrong way, knowing that Sap was that big too?
It does, but I also don't like hearing anything about Aaron Donald or Sap or John Randall in the same sentence as Cansey. Rock, can he make his first tackle?
Yeah.
Can he get his first sack? But I understand what Lee's saying. I'm not going to discount him just because of his size. I think that's a mistake that too many NFL scouts make over the years. They dismiss a guy. Either a guy can play or he can't.
No,
and I think Cansey can.
Hey, just a quick reminder to subscribe to the podcast if you're not already at Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Podcast Addict. Lots of platforms is a great way to just get a free alert to know when the podcast is there ready for you to listen. And our thanks to Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. Shop there now. That's the family name, C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. Florida's Elite Restoration, thank you for your support. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. That's where you need to go 24/7 when you have a disaster in your home. You can call them, they'll come out, free assessment, free evaluation of your property, and then if you need to move forward, you'll go for it, but they'll come out and get their professional eyes and equipment and technology on whatever your issue is in your home: storm damage, water, flood. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. And of course, Big Storm Beer, we love you. Big Storm Beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Big Storm Beer, follow them on social media: Big Storm Orlando, Big Storm Ybor City, Big Storm Clearwater, BigStormBrewery.com.
It's funny you're saying this, because last night I was flipping around and Dave Wonstadt was doing a show and he was breaking down Cansey. Oh my God. Now he's a big guy.
Yeah.
Oh, raving.
He was raving about Cansey.
No, and he actually was putting on film and showing his first step. Some guys, he's in and he's getting to the quarterback. But I mean, it's funny you're saying it, because it was, I know Wonstadt's a pit guy.
Did he say anything about the other guy from Pitt?
I only saw that, and then I flipped to something else.
But Ira, there's two guys that are getting a lot of run on various publications, broadcasts, radio stations, TV channels, you name it. And I just cannot buy a word anything these guys say, because everywhere they've been busts. One is Dave Wonstadt, super nice guy. I just can't give that guy any credibility. I just can't.
Might be a good assistant coach.
Yeah. He rides Jimmy Johnson's coattails.
Yes.
Might be a good assistant coach. And the other is Ryan Leaf.
I don't want to hear from Ryan Leaf anymore. I mean, I'm done with him.
I mean, I appreciate it.
Was it the combine, or because everybody was requesting him?
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I respect that he's overcome what he's overcome, but I can't take anything he says. So, Ira, what's the connection? I really can't say number three. I'll tell you why after the recording.
Was it a little wide receiver?
No.
I got number three and four when you're done.
What's the connection with the Bucks between Wonstadt and Ryan Leaf?
Damn. Well, I mean, Polian was the guy that drafted Peyton Manning, and it's one of the reasons Polian's in the Hall of Fame over Ryan Leaf. Wonstadt's bounced around. He's famous for being with the Cowboys during the championships. All right, Lee, what do you got?
Wonstadt was Shannon's special teams coach here. Ryan Leaf, Chucky brought him in for a training camp, and I thought he was going to make the team. He threw a touchdown pass against Dallas.
I actually, when I was on Bay News 9 and we did a post-game show, I had Ryan Leaf on at that time. And I'm telling you, Lee, he couldn't have been nicer.
Yeah.
He was humbled and this and that. Then I saw him at the Super Bowl, and I came up to him, and I said, oh, look at you. And he had his laptop up high. He was doing, like, one of those talkbacks. And I said, look at your setup or something. And he just gave me this look.
Wow.
And then I said, oh, you got it. And he kind of blew me off. So hot and cold, Lee. Hot and cold.
Wow. I got two more media guys with Buck connections, serious Buck connections. I think they're getting caught up a little bit. Now, Rock, you can talk about this because you had a long career in front of the camera.
Mm-hmm.
And TV does certain things to you. Some of these talk shows, you weren't on a talk show necessarily. But, Lee, I'm talking about Chris Sims and Dan Orlovsky, who I think started off kind of level-headed, Lee. But as the years go by, and I don't know what they're hearing from the producer in these meetings, Lee, but, you know, Sims goes off the deep end sometimes. He's ranking quarterbacks. He's got Brady, you know, listed at number 28 or whatever. And Orlovsky, you know, it's like he's trying to make a splash, Rock.
Yes.
Am I wrong about TV sometimes?
Oh, no, and definitely at ESPN because they're having cutbacks. Unless your name's
Pat McAfee.
Yeah, you got to move the needle. You got to get people. They see what they pay Stephen A. Smith. You see what I'm saying? So I agree with you with Orlovsky. But Chris Sims is my guy.
Yeah, I think Chris Sims is a great guy.
I'm not
going
to allow you to diss him, even though this is your podcast, Sage. He's my guy.
I wish he would disagree with Florio a little more. He usually agrees with Florio all the time. He knows who's right in the chat.
Oh, yeah.
Lee, what'd you notice today, Lee? Did the Palmer kids make any plays?
He made one play that kind of stuck out. He made a hell of a catch where I couldn't tell if he was inbounds or not from where I was sitting. There were so many people in front of me. But our players in front of me, I should say. But he skied for a pass. It was twins. It was him and Godwin lined up as twins. Godwin ran inside. Palmer ran outside on the left side. Palmer went up for a pass. Mayfield threw it high. He skied. He got it with his fingertips. You know, it got a big reaction from all the players that were right around him when it happened. So that jumped out at.
One more point I want to make, gentlemen. And I might be a stick in the mud on this, Lee. I don't know where you are on this. But this goes back to something that Lee's famous for saying on the podcast. And I think Lee's right, for the most part. Why mess with a good thing? Now, I'm not talking about Tristan Wirfs. I'm not. It's a whole different thing. I'm talking about another guy that we talked to today that I think they're messing with. Why do you want Godwin on the outside when he's one of the great slot receivers in football? When he does all the dirty work, and you can't find a lot of guys that excel at that position. It's like a nickelback. You got a great nickelback. Keep him there. He plays a key spot. Chris Godwin is a hell of a slot receiver. Rocky, he makes all the tough catches. He's not a speedster. He's not going to open things up on the flank. Lee, why are they messing with Chris Godwin?
I don't know. I understand your point. I don't disagree with your point. I think I said this before on your podcast. Kendallis has had such a good record with receivers in Seattle. I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt.
That's a fair point.
But I'm like you. I wouldn't mess with Chris Godwin.
I'm with Lee on this one because there's a lot of different moving parts. We're so used to the stale offense that we've seen that there's going to be times where he's going to be slot. Oh, he is outside.
This way you don't know where he is.
That is what Canales stressed to us. When you come up to the line of scrimmage, you want the defense to be scrambling and not know.
It's sort of like the opposite of what Bowles is doing on defense.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So I think that's why, Lee. I mean, Sage.
And one thing, and Rock, you were standing right there during the Arians Foundation event that night, and we were talking to Bowles, and Rock, you were right there, and I said to Bowles, Lee, hey, this Canales guy, you know, he's a pedigree with Seattle and Pete Carroll, and they always had a strong running game, you know, now they got Walker, and of course they had beast mode all those years, and Bowles didn't hesitate. He looked right at me, and he said, yeah, and they also had two 1,000-yard receivers on the outside. And he's right.
Yes.
He's right. They got Lockett and they got Metcalf. So you can't just say Seattle ground and pound, Lee.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very diversified offense.
Very much so.
And it fit Geno Smith like a glove.
Imer, this came out earlier this week. I want your feedback on it. Greg Schiano did a sit-down with college football podcast, but he didn't talk about the Bucks.
I'm surprised he did it.
I love this stuff with Chiano. I know one fan, oh, why? He's old news. Why are you doing it? But no, go ahead.
A lot of insight.
This has been good. Go ahead.
So, Ira, first off, you know, he basically said that he was prepared for the NFL. What's your take on that and why he left Rutgers? You know, the background with the conference stuff, and he said he felt trapped. It was almost like the Glazers saved him, the way he sounded.
Well, he also said he never thought he was going to leave Rutgers. His house was, you know, a walking distance away, Lee.
Yep.
I guess the Glazers made him an offer he couldn't refuse. A lot of money. And to say that he wasn't prepared for the NFL, that's on Chiano. I'm sorry, that's on Chiano. That's not on anybody that works at One Buck Place. That's on him.
But how?
And his first year wasn't that bad, Rock. It wasn't bad.
No, it wasn't. But Sage, how would he know if he hadn't been in the NFL? How would he know? He didn't get here. Remember, he's like, oh my God, how much money you make?
Well, you know, guys,
I guess he could have talked to guys, Rock.
Was he not for 1 year a secondary coach in Chicago?
He was a secondary coach.
So I don't know that I wasn't
prepared.
That's
right. That's right, Lee. That's right.
So I'll give you that.
I
mean, maybe there were some things he was not prepared for as a head coach.
He wasn't prepared for Josh Freeman to go up to defense. I'll tell you that.
That's the whole thing.
Oh, my God.
But I can't fully swallow I wasn't prepared when he had a stint in the NFL. It wasn't like he never worked in the NFL before. Now, what do you think, Ira, his two contentions, number one, in the locker room? It doesn't matter what you do on the field. It's how many zeros in your check. That's number one. Number two, anybody that preaches family in NFL is full of it.
You know, it is a business, Rock. These are professionals. You know, it's not Texas A&M. It's the National Football League. But I got to think camaraderie, it plays a role. The teams where the guys play for each other, not to let their teammates down.
Mm-hmm.
That peer pressure, I think that's a common denominator on successful teams, Rock. I wouldn't piss on that.
What player was one that went up to Chiano and told him, stop talking about family. Players want to hear how you're going to make them a better player, not that you should go home and hug your wife.
Or, hey, coach, there's some guys here that have been dads for 5 years now, and you're trying to tell them how to be a dad. And he stopped that. He was going to pray for family, and he stopped doing that.
Yep.
So, now, but who was the player?
Yeah,
who
at first think? I thought it was Rondé, and then someone in the comments on Joe Bucks Fan, an astute comment, thought it was Vincent Jackson.
What town's Rutgers in, Rock?
Piscataway, right?
Yeah, Piscataway. That family stuff works better in Piscataway. Right?
Oh, no.
It definitely works better in the college thing. There were so many things. Two water bottles, certain degrees.
Remember the ending of the Giants game when they went into victory formation and Coughlin chewed him out?
Oh, my God.
You know, I was telling Lee before, Rock, and I've been here since 85. I've seen a lot of Buck, regimes come and go. That second year, that 2013 season, I've never seen anything like it. Still, looking back with the MRSA and the Josh Freeman craziness and the 0-8 start or whatever it was.
Horrible.
That was an unbelievable, unforgettable season. Jonathan Banks was coming off the field.
I remember.
Second round pick. I thought the guy was going to be good. I don't know what happened. His rookie year, he wasn't bad. And then he never progressed. Right. But he was coming off the field. And he was, coming off, an ankle since problem. I go, hey, you going to be able to play Sunday on that ankle? He goes, ankle? I played with MRSA, man. Remember that, Lee? Remember they shut the building down? They got the people with the white lab coats, Lee? You can't make that stuff up, bro. You just can't.
Oh, it's not good. I don't see it being bad this year.
He hated Lovie Smith. If you give him some truth serum, he would admit that Lovie ruined. He thinks Lovie ruined his career. I don't know.
They're going to have some more OTAs with us invited on a couple of Tuesdays. Lee, we're less than a month away with them going away for 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's going to Europe and this and that.
Right.
You know, so, Lee, what are you expecting in the next month as guys come back from injuries? You're watching Ryan Jensen, Lee. You want to see what's going on with him. I don't know if he's coming out to OTAs. We'll see. But I think Jensen could play a big role on this team, Rock, in terms of setting a tone up front. I think they missed that last year.
Oh, huge, huge. I don't know how the hell he played an entire game. An entire game after not having any reps. No, we went over to him, man. His adrenaline was still going. He's huge. He's the key. And worse with the position change. That's my big question mark. is the offensive line. I know Bowles, and they're talking about this and these guys, and they're better than you think. That's the question mark, and I won't know until they put the pads on.
Who was talking up Rashad White today, Lee? Was it Godwin or Mayfield?
Godwin,
remember?
Yeah. You know, Lee, if the kid is as good as advertised, and he wasn't bad last year.
He was bad last year, outside of one game.
Well.
I think Lee's being a little harsh.
But Lee, terrible. Fair. Lee, the blocking wasn't very good. It wasn't. Because Fournette didn't do any better.
Well, this, yeah, I mean, you argue Fournette might be over the hill. Here's my argument when people say, you can't run unless you have an offensive line. In general sense, I agree with it, obviously. But you know what? Running backs are allowed to break tackles. And I'm not saying he's Walter Payton, but name me an all-pro offensive lineman until Ditka got there that Walter Payton ran behind. What was that guy's name from Harvard? Right tackle. He was Dan Jiggets. That's the kind of trash he was running behind. I mean, come on now.
But I'm not expecting Walter Payton, Lee.
That's why I said, I think the biggest question mark for this team has a question mark at every position. And that's the offensive line. I mean, everybody's jumping up and down. Yay, Morris moving left tackle. You know, that's two question marks.
I agree with
that's
you,
Lee. That's two question marks.
There's a bunch of names out there. These names don't mean anything. Hainsey, Gedeke, don't mean anything to me.
Everybody, Gedeke looked comfortable against Atlanta.
They're not proven, Rock.
Look who he was playing against. Trash. Give me a break.
I know Wirfs is great.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what I know.
Yeah.
Other than that, I don't know a lot.
Biggest question mark
for me. Mork. I expect him to start. I think the kid's going to start.
Ryan Jensen.
Filer could start.
Yes.
Ryan Jensen, we don't know.
We don't know.
And that's a big thing for Mock to go from North Dakota State.
Yes.
And maybe playing a little bit inside. He only was able to play in the Senior Bowl. It was the first time moving on the offensive line. And now this guy from North Dakota State is going to come in. And it took Cap a little while. Yeah. And again, he's not even Cappy yet. Not even close, you know. So that's what I'm saying. That, to me, is a big question mark.
Lee, we're going to be back later in the week with another podcast. And we'll keep this thing going.